This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. I want to start this podcast off with saying thank you for voting for us on the Carbon TV Spring Turkey Bracket. We ended up winning that, which is really cool. It's just kind of a neat thing to do, especially as a podcast and like the video scene, and we get a cool turkey bracket badge on our show now, and we won the 2020 Buck Poll, I guess, competition or voting as well, too. So it's pretty cool. We got two badges on our platform there. You can now watch the first two exclusive video series, episodes, whatever you want to call it, on Carbon TV. That's season one and two, and then we have a three and four where we're funneling in some of our audio podcast that you're listening to here on Spotify, wherever you listen. And then there's also video podcasts there too. And you can also find that on our YouTube channel. So I just want to start off quick. Thank you for that. Also big shout out to the people behind the Open Season Sportsman's Expo. This episode was recorded there at the expo in our hotel, but they killed the show, especially with the last second move going from Madison to the Dells. It was great. Everybody had an awesome time. It was good to see everyone. Thank you if you came out and picked up some Working Class merch. It means a lot, and it was just so much fun. Can't wait till next year already. We're going to try and do more. I'm probably going to do a post voting on what is a good show in your area, because there's a lot I hear about every year that I'm like, oh, man, I'd like to go to that one. But we're going to try and hit as many as we can next year and just kind of have some fun and talk with people. That's really why we like to do it. It's talking with people and sharing stories and bullshit and like-minded people. So other announcements, the Working Class Bowhunter podcast shoot, June 12th, Galesburg Archery Club, technically Rio, Illinois, Galesburg, Illinois, however you want to look at that. But workingclassbowhunter.com, there's a shoot tab there that gives you all the information you need. I'm going to get through the business quick on here because I'm excited about this episode. It's a different type of podcast. I get different as in like the guest mixture, but we'll get to that. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. Code for HHA is WCB15 if you're wanting to get into a single pin sight. Also Scent Crusher, in our opinion, the leader in ozone technology and basically how you apply it to your hunting clothes or your room or boots or whatever you got, the gear bag, the roller bag. Also Loophole Optics, we're rocking everything from the rangefinders to 10x42 binos for whitetails, and that's a good middle ground for binos in our experience. Also Thermoseat, coming into turkey season, we have our own Working Class Bowhunter Thermoseats on our store, or Thermoseat has like the self-supported wedges and stuff like that for turkey season. If you need to jump on one and get one of those, WCTS at Thermoseat. Also Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, Elite Archery, Rogue Ridge and the Grind Turkey Calls and Decoys, Big Time. Code on there if you're wanting to get some spring seed, WCB 2021, a Big Time. Also, Old Barn Taxidermy. Man, my bear. I'm counting down the days till I get my bear back. Those guys are awesome. And I know we said last week we got another spring announcement coming up for turkey specials. Also, Slick Trick Broadheads. I haven't decided turkey season in Illinois is in a couple weeks here. I haven't decided if I'm doing for second season in Illinois, if I'm going to do a Slick Trick, Raptor Trick, or a decap yet on my first turkey tag. We'll figure it out, though. And there's no veteran shout-out this week because Doug is not in studio. I'm just doing the intro solo, obviously. But the veteran shout-out is brought to you by HHA USA. That's HHAUSA.org. Basically helping veterans get back out there through archery, and they do a tour of 3D shoots, which is always a ton of fun. So next week we should be back on schedule. Just back in, we have a lot going on at the podcast, an announcement that we should be able to announce the next episode, something we've been working on for a couple months, and that's going to lead into more, but I'm hoping next episode we can announce it. We got a lot of work ahead of us, but it's going to open up a lot of opportunity. Anyway, on to this episode. This podcast was really cool because we had the boys from Whitetail Adrenaline and T-Bone from Bone Collector on the same episode. I don't know how you guys view it in the video hunting media industry, but I kind of see them on opposite ends of the spectrum, but in a good way. Like, neither end is a bad end of the spectrum to be on. I just see, like, super mainstream. The guy's exactly how you hope he would be on T-Bone's end. And then you kind of have the mainstream, I guess, more in the Midwest, especially from your Wisconsin, but kind of underground and but highly respected, and kind of has this. I kind of like the Whitetail Adrenaline vibe. It's like a punk band with a hardcore following, which is kind of how I view how we are, but just not on Whitetail Adrenaline's level. So it's just kind of cool to have both ends of it together in the same room, and everyone just got along, and it was a ton of fun, and it was a cool interview, a challenging interview, but it was a lot of fun. I think an interesting conversation. So I just had to say that quick. I felt really good about it. I was excited to get this blend of guests, and I hope you enjoy it. So let us know what you think. If you think, do you agree with me as I stutter all over the place? Am I right on the spectrum thing? I don't know. But anyway, enjoy the podcast. Thanks for being here.
I believe for cat.
You
can't do it.
I don't know. I've been wearing contacts since second grade.
Yeah. Glasses. You know what I was worried about with LASIK and bone? You might be a good guy to ask for this. For I heard that it can mess up your dominant eye when it comes to like aiming.
Yeah, and then, you know, like when you have to wear reading glasses when you get to that point, that they just do one eye. So you read with one, and then the other one's
Oh, really?
Like my eyes are good far away, but I'm at the age where I need reading glasses. So they can do that, but they'll just do one eye.
So when you aim through like a peep, like you're shooting your bow, do you have to do anything special?
Oh, yeah,
I got
a lens in my peep.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah, we talked about this, I think. Yeah, because I was wanting to get one for my old man.
Yep.
Because he's having a hard time, like, following his arrow when he shoots and stuff like that. So
yeah, verifier peep. You need it for your
– Yeah.
It's a glass lens in there.
Yeah, didn't you do a video on that? Mm-hmm. Like, you posted something up on that?
Yeah. There's about six different lenses, and you hold the – you got an apparatus that you hold the fiber optic out there, and then you look through the different strengths, just like picking out the right strength reading glasses.
Yeah.
And then you get the one where you get the – clearest on your pen, but yet you can still see the target clear too. So,
oh man, just like you're at the eye doctor when they flip through the lenses.
yeah.
Jared's,
this one better or this one? No.
Jared,
this one?
Don't have to worry about that. You're just the traditional man.
You know what? I can't see my arrow anyway because it's usually going that way or that way.
do you have a hard time tracking your arrows or anything when you're shooting?
Don't even get me started. What? No, it's slow enough. You can follow.
Yeah. We're waiting here, so we're like pre-rounding up. I mean.
Pre-record?
When Wade's ready
this
here.
This is the warm-up.
Yeah, this is the warm-up. This is like the pre-intro.
Foreplay?
Doug looks awake tonight.
Cool. Doug's awake. He's not falling asleep.
We got Doug. He's here. He's in the house.
Not yet.
Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Obviously, we're at the Kalahari Resort, Wisconsin Dells, and this it's a nice hotel room. It's a suite, kind of, right, T-Bone?
It's pretty kind of sweet.
It's kind of a suite.
Ain't no 5,000 square foot suite in Vegas. But
No. But it's nice. It's very nice.
It's a working class suite.
Exactly.
Wisconsin show. This was the first full day, Saturday, and it was killer, I thought.
Badass show.
The last second move to Wisconsin Dells, it was, killer. It was up there with Iowa, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah absolutely.
Which is Iowa's, like, the staple for consumer shows, you know. But quick, let's just have everybody introduce themselves round table before we get fired off into conversation. And Kurt Geyer.
Eric Hammond.
Travis Turner.
Jared
Scheffler.
TJ Greenwood.
Doug Schmidt.
Hey, Doug.
Hey.
Doug's awake.
Doug's awake. So we got an interesting mix. We got Whitetail Adrenaline, Bone Collector T-Bone, obviously. You guys, I didn't realize you guys just met literally.
Yeah.
In person. Yeah, I'm sure you guys knew about each other or whatever, but. Right. So that's a fun dynamic.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just kind of cool.
I literally sat down and T-Bone reached over and he's like, hey, nice to meet you. I was like, I know who you are.
That's awesome. Well, I feel like I'm going to miss you guys a lot. Bone, we get together probably usually once a year, it seems like.
At least, yeah.
You guys lately, it's like you're probably getting sick of us. I know PR guy is loving it, but
we never get sick of you.
not yet.
You either, Doug.
Thank you, man. I didn't need that.
So, I mean, Nebraska, so last time we recorded, well, Bone, we did a podcast with you not long ago over the phone.
That's right.
And then we saw you guys in Nebraska and Iowa. Everybody loved the Nebraska episode because Jared had his party hat on.
Yep.
And Chansey was on there, too. Is this your first podcast ever?
Yeah, it is.
Ever?
Yeah.
Of all time. Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, welcome. Another one for our virginity book.
Yeah, you put me in there.
He kind of likes to fly under the radar.
I do.
Low-key.
Yeah?
Facebook, right?
No, man. No social media.
Nothing at all.
I got Snapchat to send, goofy shit to my buddies, but that's it.
No Instagram even?
No, I don't want anything to do with any of that. I was 16 years old. I had a Facebook page, and my girlfriend got mad about it. I deleted it and haven't had any of that stuff since.
Did you ever have a Zanga or like a MySpace, Who's in your top five?
No. None of those.
Who's in your top five?
Top five?
Yeah. I think I knew enough about MySpace to know that Todd guy was everybody's friend, but other than that, I don't know nothing.
Todd guy? Yeah, he was.
So you just rock on Whitetail Adrenaline, that's it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess.
Do you ever get recognized?
I guess.
Even, like, because social's a big deal. Like, you kind of... If you're an influencer, you're on social.
No. I mean, I had a little kid today. I felt pretty good. He's about 11 years old. He came up to me and asked me how that 25-06 was shooting. So I feel real good about that.
That's right.
And I told him, I said, listen, I learned one thing. I said, if you take two guns hunting, one is yours and one is your buddy's, you don't give your gun to your buddy. You give your buddy your buddy's guns. And you know you're going to hit something.
You know it's dialed.
I was going to say, it seemed like he fit right into that the headphones and such over there. So I thought he had done a podcast before, but it might have been working a drive through Mike McDonald's or Burger King.
Or flying a plane. He could have been a pilot.
Yeah, he could have been a pilot.
I'm a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
More of a Burger King, I would say.
Do you want cheese on that, T-Bone? You want cheese on that?
Hey.
We could have went fighter pilot.
Of course
pilot.
I do.
We could have went fighter pilot.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be Tom Cruise and all
that. That's
here,
right.
You don't know.
Top Gun, yeah.
Truck driver. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Process of elimination.
Which is it?
Good on the list.
Right. We'll get there eventually.
You start low at fast food drive-thru, and then you just like chip your way through the process.
That's right.
Jared, I did watch the DVDs. We got them in Nebraska and finally had time to finish.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, they're awesome.
The Bow DVD is – I don't gun hunt much, so I don't really relate to the other side of it. I have nothing against it. I just don't. Do it as much,
ideal.
You know. But the Bow DVDs, they're both good, but I mean, some of the best archery videos of all time. I really think so. Like, for bow hunting, they're incredible.
Did you see my three misses in a row?
I still like it.
Okay.
But I like that you show everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's awesome. And so, I mean, you've been a part of it for fuck how long?
Now, 10 years, probably.
10 years. How long have you guys been
12.
Doing 12?
12, yeah, 12.
So how did you just get birthed into the process back in the day then? It was just like...
Little secret, the first time I met Jared was the last show he did in Wisconsin Dells about 10 years ago.
No, there used to be a show here back then, huh?
Yeah. There was a show.
Big Buck Classic.
Big Buck Classic at the Shula Vista. Yeah.
What'd you do to him?
Well, I actually me with Bush Light back then.
I actually walked
I got
in. And
wiser though.
I shot. I don't know if he remembers this, but I shot a rubber band at him and hit him in the side of the head.
You guys didn't know each other?
Hell no, I didn't know who this
totally
guy was.
I totally forgot about that, but it is coming back to me now.
He was sitting there. He had this rollout banner in a 10x10 booth. I'd never been there before. I'd see this guy and launched a rubber band at him from across the aisle.
Just for the hell of it?
Just for the hell of it. Hit him in the side of the head.
You know I'm going to be getting shot with rubber bands left and right.
Oh,
now, right?
Boy.
So
yeah, you are too.
So in true Jared Scheffler, whatever. We had a bunch of Bush Lights and hung out. But after that, the next year I was going to the Wisconsin Deer and Turkey Classic, and I was texting him. I said, hey, man, you're going to be there, whatever.
And was that in Madison back
it was
then?
It was in Madison then. The next year I went and saw him, and he had a rubber band gun loaded behind his booth, and he let me have one with that thing, and he got me back.
Did you ever go to the show when it was back in the Dells back
have.
Then?
Nope.
I didn't even know that.
I think it was a small year or two. I think it went
It was a small show. It only happened to 1 or 2 years. But
I've never been to the one in Madison either. When it was the Durham ticket. Mm-mm.
That was always, I mean, it's the same show. They just moved it. That was always an awesome, one of our better shows that we did.
For sure.
Yep.
And
I've done the Deer Fest and then the Boat Fest.
Yeah.
That's the only two that I've done.
Where's Boat Fest at? Is it Ohio?
Duluth. Is it Duluth?
Yes. I haven't been to that
Duluth
one.
Duluth where?
Duluth, Minnesota.
Yeah. It's right on the line. So
gotcha.
We did that this last summer, but it's only been in existence for 2 or 3 years. It's all outdoors in the summer. Big concert series. Oh yeah.
It's huge.
You guys, is that the one you guys said it's a good time? But
I haven't been to that one.
Oh, what's the other outdoor one? You go to all the shows? Sorry, I'm all over the place here. But
I've been to all of them over the last several years. But
yeah.
PA is good. You know, Harrisburg, is that what you're talking about? They have a big concert series in Harrisburg, too.
Yeah.
I think we're going to try and do PA next year, but for us, like, we all have full-time jobs, so we have to work shifts. We have to work shifts.
That's a long time.
I'll tell you what, the first time I did that show, I did it all by myself. I had that Astro van. It took me 22 hours to get from Wisconsin, which should have been 15 hours. Drove across Indiana and half of Ohio with a donut. Without a driver's license, got there at 9:30. The show started the next morning. Had no sleep. I had to set that booth up by myself, and I ran that thing for 9 days. And I said, "This is crazy."
Nine days.
Have you been?
Oh yeah.
Well, I know you've been there, but
yeah, nine days is brutal.
Do you show up just for a couple and scoot?
We've done it both. You know, early on, we would do it for 9 days, or then sometimes what we do is just work the weekend, go home for 3 or 4 days, and then come back and work the other.
Oh, gotcha.
On the back end of it, yeah. But
9 days.
It's in an agricultural center, and it's just absolutely insulated with nothing but asbestos. You are going to get sick. Yeah.
Can't wait.
If you've been there, if you've been there and had got a sickness, you don't have to worry about corona. You're sterile. You don't have to worry about corona.
So is it that massive?
It's huge.
So, Jared, you guys do, I mean, almost all consumer shows, it seems like. What's the best one, in your opinion?
That one is. It's 9 days. But it is, even for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's
busy.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I've never really griped about it being on a Monday, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well, what's interesting about this dynamic right now is, like, you know, the Bone Collector, Whitetail Adrenaline on the same podcast, which is cool as hell. I mean, it's kind of cool we were able to do that. But it's kind of, you guys are kind of on different spectrums of the industry a little bit. Whereas, like, you guys make a lot of your, like, you're selling DVDs and merchandise.
DVDs, state of the art.
Which is awesome. I like the hard copy. Like, when I buy the Realtree DVDs.
You can't cancel culture that.
I love it, man. I think you bring back VHS. It's gonna come back full circle. Yeah.
It might be a stretch.
But it's cool. Like,
I don't know if I invest in that.
Major outdoor network, and then it's kind of like the show hustle and, like, online sales and DVDs. So it's kind of cool. I mean, it's just, like, neat to see it all, like, both ends of it.
Right, absolutely.
And do you enjoy the hustle? That way, Jared, still?
I used to enjoy it more than I do now, but yeah, you know, I mean, it's
kind of the same hustle, but different spectrums, right?
Right.
So,
yes.
Right. I mean, I wish I could afford, like, 2 or 3 more editors, and then that would, you know, be a little bit more relieving, but you got to take the good with the bad, you know?
Right.
Our budget's not as big, and
So, did you do this full time, too?
No.
What's your day job?
I got a real job.
He's a pilot, remember?
I got a real job.
Fast food.
Manager at Burger King.
No, I'm Tom Cruise's stunt guy. But
gotcha.
when I'm not doing that, I'm a environmental health and safety manager for a glass company.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So everything we're doing here is real safe.
Yeah, right. Okay, good.
You approve of it?
It's OSHA. My stamp of approval. Oh, I've caught caught Jared in a couple OSHA violations once or twice.
Right. Charging batteries. Yeah. We had how many power strips?
Oh, I don't know. We were daisy chaining power strips like crazy in a hotel room, but we were good.
If you didn't do this, what would you do, Jared?
Probably buy and sell property.
Would you?
Yeah, that's probably what I'd do.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have said just because.
A lot less work, more money. ROI is really good, return on investment of time versus the dollars. That's probably what I would do.
You seem like you're good at wrenching on cars from watching all the videos.
Yeah, they don't make you much money.
No,
it just
doesn't.
Gets you back on the road.
Yeah. Everybody needs that guy, though. You can go anywhere and find a job. You know?
Yeah.
You
can. It doesn't pay, though.
Bone, we've talked about this. You used to work at Mercedes, right, back in the day?
Yeah, I would not do that again.
No?
Before that, I was actually a Chippendales dancer, but
right.
I blew my knee out and
blew your knee out. Your Achilles.
Yeah, I was trying to do dance move and I blew my knee out, so things didn't work out. But
oh, man,
that helped with our Chevrolet deal, so I traded in all my thongs to them, and they're still making fan belts out of them. So I still get residuals from it.
100,000-mile warranty.
Yeah,
on that.
Exactly. Yeah,
get the residuals off of that.
Nice. Yep. Nice. I love it.
You know, never know when God's going to shine His grace down on you.
Right. Find your calling.
That was his million-dollar deal.
That's amazing. That's interesting. That
pays off in the long run.
I was like thinking about it because I just feel like people don't realize that are outside the industry and like see what you guys all do and think it's just all like butterflies and rainbows but it's a lot. It's a hustle.
Oh yeah,
like
for sure.
Spending time away from your family. And,
well, seriously, I would probably do what he does is buy and sell land and yeah. Well, I actually kind of dabble that in it as it is now or realty and stuff like that. You kind of get to make your own time. I love it. I mean, anything with land management or anything like that. I mean, yeah, we're fortunate enough to make a living. You know, hunting and fishing and shooting a bow and stuff like that. But my passion, I mean, thank goodness that, you know, that our career is our passion. But I love nothing more than sitting on a skid steer or a tractor and buying a piece of land and seeing it like a, you know, polishing a turd, so to speak, and making it what you want. So,
yeah,
and then just, you know, it's just like everything you do, you know, it's diesel therapy and it's just instant gratification because, you know, you're out there, you're not really thinking, you're doing this, plowing this, pushing this, and then you get off of it, and it's like, man, look what all I accomplished, and I didn't burn up any brain waves or nothing, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's like wholesome feel-good work.
Yeah,
too.
It is. I can see where there's such a pride factor being a farmer or anything like that, So,
and I told you this last time, too, I don't know how there's any trees left on your property.
Oh, I know. I got to be careful, man.
Just running out there with the skid steer.
You got to be careful. A skid steer and a mulcher is big trouble, man. I'm done.
I see people hinge cutting that might not be an expert in land management, and I'm like, you just cut down all your trees on your property and all that.
Well, and that's where you just get out of hand with that mulcher and just start taking down trees. You're having so much fun. You look back and you're like,
oh, shit. Now I got to plant something. Well, okay, so public land. Do you ever think about just buying a piece, Jared, and
managing? No, I've
never done
that.
Does that interest you at all?
Not for 13 years, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had some pretty good property in Buffalo County to hunt. I didn't have to pay there to hunt there, but I don't know. I grew up hunting public land and a lot of farms, but back where I grew up, a lot of other people could hunt those same farms. It was pretty much like public.
And right, yeah, there's pressure
I kind of miss the mystery of not knowing what is exactly out there
right.
and the adventure of it. And I felt like I was getting really, like, pinned down when I was hunting that farm. I knew every deer. There's other guys that could hunt it, too, and I got kind of a little bit just, I don't know how to explain it. Just, it was frustrating. It almost felt like a job.
Right.
And I just kind of
You kind of have the freedom
that.
To
yeah,
do.
I walked away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you fall in all of this? I mean, I know the public, obviously, but, I mean, like, what's your background in hunting growing up and all that?
So, you know, I'm a little bit of a mix of these two guys
right.
in a way, you know. I own my
Which
own
is probably
property.
The most relatable to listeners.
Yeah, I own my, you know, I own 50 acres of property. That was my grandparents' farm that they've owned for years. And, you know, I love, you know, watching deer grow, farming. You know, playing farmer is what I should say. You know, taking the 8N Ford and an old disc and
hobby farming,
beating. Yeah. You know, laying food plots and having fun and you know, because I get to watch it happen out my patio door every night. You know, I love that. And at the same time, though, I love the challenge and, like you said, the mystery of public land. So, like, what I tell a lot of people, I live on a dead end road. And straight across from my driveway is a giant piece of public land. And I, you know, I walk across the street and go hunting on public when I feel like, you know, just that mystery factor I love. But I also am, I'm big on being able to watch things grow, like my whole life, you know, watch things, build things, watch
the
things
investment
grow.
Of just, it.
Yeah, that investment factor. I love it.
Yeah.
So.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's like a good mix of the trio here that we have because I'm hunted public ground more out west, you know, but I love, I mean, in Illinois, you know, that's where we're from. I have to have, I mean, there's not a ton of public ground around us unless we got to go west. We have to travel. There's a little bit, but I'm not going to leave deer that I have on some private pieces for other deer. That's the reason why I haven't dove into it. I just, to me, that's still fun trying to figure it out and pattern certain
Aren't you guys starving rock?
Within an hour, yeah. 2 hours roughly.
I've hunted Starving Rock.
Have you really?
Oh yeah, absolutely. A buddy of mine's got 40 acres and, you know, it butts up to it and then we just travel onto it. Like you said, you got private that matches up to it and,
yeah.
You know, and that's how we all cut our teeth through, you know, me, Michael and Nick come from humble beginnings. So yeah. I've hunted, the wildlife management areas in Georgia as well as, I probably hunted more on Corps of Engineer land around the lakes. Like they have a buffer around all the lakes.
Yeah.
It's not too far from where I live now, but I would drive an hour and a half, sleep in my truck, just like what you were saying. And, I wouldn't trade those memories for nothing, you know, from, having to hike way in there. You shoot a deer, and that's when the work begins. You got to drag that joker out like three-quarters of a mile.
Secondhand fun is what we call it. Because it sucks right there, but it's fun to talk about later.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, you pay $15 for a permit, and you got 30,000 acres to hunt around the core property.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Bow hunting only, too, so it's awesome.
Oh, no kidding.
A lot of guys get boats and come in from the
Where
boat.
Where is that?
That's in Georgia. Yeah.
Is there a lot of, like, generally a lot?
Please.
Yeah. Show me
I caught
at.
The Georgia part. I was going deeper.
By all means, I'll draw you a map.
Coordinates and everything.
Start here. Don't go here.
I definitely want to watch
that. Guess where I'm starting.
I want to watch that show. Yeah, I want to see that,
that
show.
That would be cool. Have you ever thought about doing that?
What's that?
Going down and
Well, our buddy Logan down there, he hunts the Coca-Cola Ranch is where he – but he's got some public there around there, and he's been trying to talk me into coming down there.
Yeah, there's a lot of public land.
I think a lot in Georgia, yeah.
I think he's trying to, you know Logan.
I know what he's
doing. Yeah, he's a shyster.
I know what he's doing.
He's a shyster.
He's making it sound good, and I'm like,
Oh, we get that all the time. Sometimes you find some real gems. You know what I mean? Like some really good places like, hey, man, I'd like you to come hunt our ranch. And I'm sure you guys get all kinds of invites just like what we do. But then you got the guy that, like, we're at a banquet and he comes in and says, man, we got this great farm. We'd love to come hunt, you know, come hunt. And he keeps selling it. And this is a deer we killed. And this is a deer we killed. And this is a deer we killed. I'm like, man, that's awesome. I'm listening. You know, I want to hear what they got to say. And he goes, then it comes down to how many acres you got? And he goes, man, he goes, I tell you what. He goes, it's only 35, but it hunts like 100. And then my neighbors all around there, they don't care if you come over there. They don't care if you trespass. They'd be fine. Actually, my neighbor, she cooks such good biscuits, she'd have breakfast for you as soon as we get out. You know, so they're trying to sell you on it. And I'm like,
you find out
hard.
More and more as it goes on.
I mean,
on, yeah.
Not that you can't kill a good deer on that. I mean, because you can, but. You know,
you're not trying to trespass on his neighbor's ground coming in as a guest.
And then
eating their biscuits.
Yeah, bring Waddell and Nick. Like three of us and three camera guys are going to come up there and hunt 35 acres. Yeah, so.
Burn out your spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who's going to hunt
paper,
today,
rock, scissors?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Rochambeau.
Yeah, no kidding.
Looks like I'm going to go get some biscuits.
Yeah.
Damn it. Or it might not be all that bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Just go ahead and clean up the mess afterwards.
Coming for the biscuits, not the deer.
Yeah, exactly.
You should go south. I think that a lot of the southern guys would love that, because I'm sure you guys do well at the southern shows. They probably
shoot
eat that
the
up.
First spike I saw, I bet.
Yeah.
I'd go down there. I'd treat it like Nebraska. I go to Nebraska, first 120 I see, I'm
really
going to go. I you know what? I love Kansas. You know, the potential's there. It's realistic to come across a 170 plus there in a week or two of covering ground and all that. But like I told Matt last year, I was like, it's now my least favorite place to hunt because my standards are up here because I know it's realistic.
Yeah.
I love going to Nebraska and just first 120, 130 comes through, dumping them.
You're feeling it,
because I know that the chances of something big, so whatever, 130, 150, I mean. But
okay,
they start to hit that 170, and it's like, if you know it's realistic, it's like I get married in and let a 140 go on public, which some people are like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, well, you haven't been to Kansas 10 years like I have and seen what it has to offer.
Right.
You know, but then I go to Nebraska, and it's like first 120 comes by, I'm
dunzo.
Right.
If you do come to Georgia, I would recommend coming opening day like September 8th. So you get the full heat effect of Georgia.
Golly, there you go. I'm not in for that.
I do hate the cold, and I do like the warmth, but that's a little too warm.
Oh, yeah.
You got to wear your sandals out to the tree stand.
Humid, I bet, too.
Watching your guys' DVDs, I'm looking at – you guys have to find – out of any, like, public land-focused show, you guys have to be on the biggest deer consistently over anybody else.
We've been doing it a while. We didn't get on as big a ones.
It's not by accident. It's not by accident.
You kind of figure out your regions and – the ones you always hear about are never the good ones. You find them on your own.
Yeah.
On the public land level.
Right,
you
know, right.
Anything you read about or hear about, that's junk.
You
that's
don't
where everybody
go
else is going.
That makes
you
sense.
Know? Oh. And it just wrecked it for anybody that it was good. And
well,
it too, but
the thing is, it's it's a deeper level of like finding those spots. Like you said, you got those guys that post in a forum, which, you know, that's where a lot of people learn and start and all that and cut their teeth. But they'll ask, how's so-and-so unit in this area and a forum? Because I did a lot of research for doing Colorado.
I go the other direction.
Yeah,
that's what I do. When I hear that and read that, I kind of
But you're taking the time to find things for yourself. You're not waiting on a forum to tell you if to go there or not.
Right. You know? Yeah, I don't find pockets like that.
Yeah.
It's covering ground out there.
Yeah, just literally driving through everything.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, how come you haven't bought nicer vehicles instead of working on all
I did, and then it rolled away and parked the next day. Brand new Ford.
Yeah, it's on the video.
What? On the second one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I haven't got that.
I have three fractured vertebrae in my back because of it.
Well, goddamn, I don't think I got that far then.
I didn't either.
I got to hear this story.
No, I don't want to talk about it, actually.
Just watch
the DVD. Buried that.
Just watch the DVD.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't got that far then on the second one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in there.
It's on the gun DVD.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I haven't got that far.
What kind of truck was it?
It was a brand new Ford.
Yeah. Chevy's way to go, bud.
Yeah, they won't run.
Then I come across a guy that had a brand new Chevy and a brand new Dodge that both had the same issue, roll away and park it. I was like, well, I guess I got a lemon.
I got a Chevrolet. My truck has never rolled away from me.
Well, I got a Chevy, too.
The Astro? Still got the rocking the Astro?
I ain't got the Astro. I do have a van, though. It's a 1997 Dodge conversion van, high top.
Ooh.
You can damn near stand up in it.
Nice. Slicker than
shit. Tanner. Okay, funny story. You brought up the Astro. So Tanner shows up to my house, like, August 27th, 28th this year with an Astro, like a 2000 Astro.
AWD?
All loaded down, ready to start AWD. The season. Okay, so Matty Z comes in to film him. So they show up. They get all everything loaded, and they're just leaving. I told Matt, I said, film this shot of this van leaving. This is hilarious. And Tanner pulls out, goes around the block, and I see. I'm like, that ain't good. The tire's, like, basically hitting the wheel well. Like, he ain't going to make it very far. Leaf spring sprung. I mean, this thing's shot. Boy. All right? So I go around. I still got the minivan, right? And I go around to I had it parked under the deck. I go in there. It's all moldy. Like, the mold got in, took over the minivan. You know, when we did the giveaway contest.
Yeah, funny. Yep.
Nobody
guy,
take it.
Guy took the cash. Actually, I met the guy's buddy. And he says, yeah, his wife turned. I said, yeah, that's what I figured. The wife wouldn't allow the minivan.
So it's all moldy on the inside?
That was all moldy. And I was like, well, I got the conversion van. It was a weekend, so couldn't get it in right away to get repaired. I was like, you got to go hunting. So I sent him on the road with that conversion van. And that's what he ran all year. And
Tanner's also
killed
the only
220 muley and seven other deer. Well, no one kid. Elk in there, too.
But. Tanner's also the only guy short enough to be able to drive that van. I don't know if you've driven it.
He fits perfectly.
It's miserable.
Yeah.
Miserable.
No. I drove it for 15 minutes of my life. Why? What? Every minute of it.
The big van?
Oh, it's a nice big van.
The big black van.
If you're in the back seat, it's wonderful, I'm sure. I never actually rode in the back, but I drove it. It rides nice, but your knees are touching your chin.
But the seat doesn't adjust in the van?
Oh, not as much as the Econoline.
Seats don't adjust, the heat don't work, and the radio doesn't work. I mean, that's a rough deal.
Screw all that, man. I was actually
upset. My buddy saw the van. He bought it for me and said, I know you want this, and then I bought it from him, but then I found out I didn't have the, you know, the old Econoline. You could spin the seat 180 degrees.
To get out.
You got a wood table in there. You could play cards while you're going down the road, whatever.
There you go.
The Ram van? No, they got away with that.
Yeah.
The Ram van.
That's part of your guys. Like, I feel like it wouldn't be the same though if you guys had all kick-ass vehicles on the DVDs, you know? Like,
no,
you got,
they're characters in their video.
They're characters,
silent characters.
Yeah, I just, man, I'm bad with that stuff. Like, I want to get up and go. I want to get there and get it done. And
I just remember the one DVD.
That's why I trailer them now.
Yeah, right. And then
you have to Ford, and
then
I
your
got
wheel
the
go
Fuzzbuster
out,
and I'm just hauling, and I get there and unload them, and now we're doing
then your trailer tires go out.
Yeah.
Last year, Tanner's Astro basically turned into a storage unit. It was on a trailer, packed full
of
gear
for
the whole season on a trailer. I don't think it came off. We just pulled it everywhere.
I threw it on the trailer when I went out. Yeah, I used it in Kansas.
Did you use it?
Yeah, he had my van. I used his. Yeah.
Would you take a Chevy sponsor?
Would I?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I've never taken a sponsor. But,
well, that's why I'm asking.
You know,
what
I
would
mean,
it take?
Well, I mean, you drop a big enough number and a couple of fleet of vehicles. As long as they're like 20-year-old vehicles, I can't be rolling around nothing nice and new.
I think that's a Brandon Pauletta question. Nice Jared can't answer those.
No. Yeah. See how he comes up? PR guy comes up like...
I'm going to get him another drink here.
He starts talking sponsors, and Brandon's like, get him another drink.
It's the money rolling in. You know, they give you like an O2 Silverado with like the cab corners rusted through on it.
Hey, I got one.
I like my burb, though. I like my burb. I do like that.
He's got a burb with a I don't know. If I were to guess, it's at least a quarter million, maybe pushing half a million miles
on it.
Yeah, that's
240.
We've been talking about getting a Suburban or like something for the podcast. That way we can all fit in and hit all
get
the shows
together.
Get
an 8.1 early 2000s.
Oh, 8.1, about 4.5 miles
he
a gallon.
One.
Really? Yeah, but we can't afford
it. No, it gets more than that unless you're pulling a big trailer. I pulled that big 35-foot trailer with that.
And we got a 16-footer aluminum.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I just remember
I'm serious. That big trailer I got, that's what I pulled for 2-3 years before I got that Ford. Yeah.
If he had your trailer, he'd be using the van.
The
he'd
van?
Pull that baby with the minivan. Oh, he wouldn't care.
That's what I did to the Harrisburg show, and then I warped the rotors going up and down those. Oh, my gosh. Trying to brake coming down that thing.
Exactly.
I bet you in our group chat we have for the podcast, a four-wheel drive Astro van off Facebook Marketplace hits our messenger group once a week.
AWD Astro van is.
It would be cool to find a clean one. It could be like our thing. Well, here's our saying's hang and bang. You hang and hunt, you're mobile. We want to get one and call it the hang and bang bus and travel around and hunt. And then what we do is. Next
you get
year.
A lot of crossover.
cross promotion.
I mean, I'm just thinking. I don't know for real, but I'm thinking you might get a lot of
exposure
crossover.
Is good.
It could be good for us. Well, and then so what we're doing is we want to expand our booth next year and add like a couch into it to separate like our merchandise side to where we can record in the booth, and we were going to call that the podcasting couch. So you come in off the hang and bang bus. You come in to get you on the podcasting couch.
Hang and
record.
Bang bus. I'll donate the couch.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh God.
We need a black leather couch and then like a good chair. We'll get them on casters and get a sign. The podcasting couch.
Well, we need to go down a different road real quick.
we got a lot of cross promotion opportunities.
I really like you guys a lot. I'm not going to let you have a bang bus.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fair. It could.
Doug's in charge.
Probably more bad for us.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing you're not backing that one up.
Yeah.
That one hurts my feelings.
Rewind.
Doug's on Bumble driving.
Roll the film back.
No, Doug's driving sleeping.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's just on Bumble crossing the center line and pulling the trailer. It's reckless.
It is what it is. You know?
You know, you need to be driving a van and wearing that headset when you're doing it.
Yeah.
You need a conversion van. If I ever seen a guy
conversion van. That's it, man.
And then, going down the road just rocking, jamming out, talking on his headset.
Oh, yeah.
And then one of those, like, safety nets that they're in the race cars.
Exactly.
Like, put in the minivan.
Yeah.
So reckless.
A helmet for when you hit the gravel roads.
Yep.
Hell, I'll do it.
Do a little ditch banging, you know.
We got to do that. Well, let's talk deer hunting again.
You'll kill more big bucks in the van.
Hard transition.
Right?
I believe it.
Well,
telling you.
You have ground out in Kansas. Did you sell your ground in Kansas?
No, I've had a farm for 3 years, and I just bought another one, actually. So I have two farms in Kansas right now.
Close to each other?
Yeah, they're about 6 miles apart.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, they're pretty close. One farm, we've three or four times a year, we're getting pictures of elk on there, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, south central Kansas, right on the Oklahoma border.
Cool. No shit.
Yeah, it's a freak. I mean, it's not like.
Is there even a hunting season for them in Kansas?
Nope. But as a landowner, you can get a tag. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, because they're not a native species.
Like, is there like opportunity for like a big bull? Or
oh yeah,
like...
we got pictures of trail cam pictures of like a 340 bull.
Wow. No shit.
Oh yeah, I think we touched on this just briefly.
Yeah.
When you were talking about just your three giants that you shot this past season.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, it's an added bonus for it for sure. That's
that's
something different. It's got a lot of alfalfa fields on it, and it's got a big. Like a heavy volume creek on there. Turkey Creek runs right through it, and it's just got a ton of volume, and it never runs dry because that part of the Kansas is just so dry. It's almost deserty-like. It's not it's way out west. It's closer to Dodge City than it is Wichita. So, you know, most people think of the eastern third of Kansas is where most people do their hunting, and we went really, really far west. So it's real dry, real arid. But, there's some elk in that area.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen any elk out in Kansas?
No. I saw a moose in Nebraska once, bull moose.
That's crazy.
And then filmed one in South Dakota, a moose.
Yeah.
Cow moose, yeah. I called the state when we filmed that one in Nebraska, and they said, well, we don't have moose. The DNR, it's on the video.
Yeah.
Call them, well, if you don't have moose, can we shoot it?
Yeah, well, what's the regulation?
No. Can we shoot it?
Not that we would have, but we had to push the button.
Quiz
them
a little bit.
It's funny you said that, because this last year we had four different trail camera pictures of mountain lion on our place in Kansas, and we said the same thing. They said, no, we don't have mountain lion in Kansas. I'm like, can we shoot it? Because, you know, we don't want the thing on there. And they said, no, same thing. It was the same scenario. So then they were in denial that it was, and I'm like, the camera does not lie. You know, we had to take them to show them where it was taken, the picture was. We got one picture with a full porcupine in its mouth. It was eating a porcupine.
Jeez. Wow. A whole porcupine. Really? How?
That doesn't
taste
good.
That's a hungry, tough joker.
No shit. But,
eating a porcupine.
Well, Jay, how close were those mountain lions?
18 yards, yeah.
Two of them,
yeah.
I don't remember.
I don't hunt. I've never hunted something that could really kill me.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure like a coyote or something got wild with me. I'm sure
it
wouldn't be fun, you know, but I've never like... So I'm like, we see these two mountain lions coming out. I'm like, sweet, I'm going to go film them.
What state was that? I don't remember.
I get out there, and I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, well.
A little close.
Wait a second.
They're looking at me.
This is maybe not a good idea.
Yeah.
And I'm like in the barren. I mean, you could kind of see on the video.
Yeah.
Dude, that's amazing footage. I had one little blade of weed like this tall in front of me. And right that ditch that they went through, that's where I was going to go. And all of a sudden, it hit me like. I don't think I want to be in this ditch.
Yeah.
Probably a good idea.
I've never seen one in person.
No,
there's always rumors of one running through in Illinois and Iowa and all that. But, and I'm sure they do. You know, they're there. But
just like we had a bear run through Iowa last year.
Yeah, a giant black bear.
Oh, really?
I'm surprised you don't.
I've never got into black bear.
No interest at all, huh?
If I was to hunt black bear, I'd have to do like a spot and socket.
Like Montana, spring black
bear. My brothers and stuff, they hunt them and. They hunt the wolves, you know.
I would be really into watching you trying to do it with traditional equipment like spring black bear and like Montana spotting stock or something.
That's probably where I would go if I've heard about that.
Do you see that in like the next 5 years trying to do something like that? Really?
Probably not. No, it's never really tripped my trigger.
I get the vibe. Maybe I'm wrong. And I feel like you guys think whitetail are stupid or not whitetails, mule deer are stupid animals.
Yeah, that's what we finally opened the
killed a couple
slot.
This year.
We shot three. We were like, all right, fine, we're gonna open up mule deer.
I found Jared a little honey hole in mule deer, and they couldn't resist. They had to go get him.
Yeah. So, I mean, does it...
You did that?
Well,
I sent you there.
You didn't send me.
I sent you on a scouting mission.
Oh, boy.
Check this pocket out, remember?
In the Astro van on the trailer.
So, does
See,
they just
Daddy
not...
wants to take credit for the mule deer that I shot.
Well, do they just not interest you guys as much, or, like, what's the deal?
You know, there's smart mule deer, and there's really dumb mule deer.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't have any desire to shoot a... deer that's basically acts like it's your pet, but then there's smart mule deer too.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember one time in Wyoming, it was the last day, and Shane and I had archery tags, and we were having a pretty tough hunt, didn't get on anything really, and we come across a couple of mule deer, and it was a general tag, and those damn mule deer were picking us off better than a whitetail, it felt like. You know, so there are really smart mule deer.
Mm-hmm.
You can't discredit them all, but that's my thing with mule deer.
What about like traditional archery antelope? Is that interesting at
all?
That's
never really tripped my trigger either. No, it's, I don't know.
What's your favorite thing to bow hunt, Bone?
Whitetails.
Whitetails, yeah.
Yeah, it's just they're so diverse across the whole country. They're in so many states. The way you do it in Florida is not the way you do it in Wyoming.
Right.
They're so diverse as far as like each one's like a fingerprint, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, at any given time, you just don't know, even with trail cameras or, you know, how we plan to hunt, you never know what's coming around there. So I just like the fact that no matter who you talk to, everybody seems like in our group or, you know, like when you're at these shows and stuff, everybody can relate to that, you know?
Yeah.
If I come back from Africa and I said, man, I killed a 4-inch diger. If I talk to 1,000 people that day, there might be 2 that know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, I've never been to Africa. I've never hunted. But, you know, doing that kind of thing doesn't really interest me. I would go to Africa and hunt. But to say that, man, I'm saving all my pennies. Man, I'm going to Africa as soon as I can.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that anything negatively. It's just me personally.
If it's
legal to hunt or anybody wants to go, I'm all for it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. With any type of weapon. But as far as, like, that's something that I want to do, I don't.
Yeah, I get that.
And I told folks today, like in the seminar, I'm like, I feel like I'm a good bit older than you guys. I've already so far outlived my dreams. Like, if I don't even kill a cockroach the rest of my life, I've already way done better than I ever thought I would. So
yeah.
I'm good. So, if there was one thing that I would like to kill would be a, like a spot and stalk or a float trip on a Yukon moose.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be incredible.
That's what I'd like to do, yeah. Yeah,
that would
that's
be incredible. Cool. Yeah, what about you? Just other list, species? Yeah. Like, is there one that's killing you that you got to get after? Or you're just cool with whitetails? Don't tell me that. Come on.
No, I'm not. What I think about whitetails is truly they're the most relatable species also. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, we all love to hunt them because mm-hmm. we all can. I mean, they're mm-hmm. a lot of states you can do that. And for me, if I'm – it sounds easy pickings, but it's not. I've been trying to kill an elk with a bow, and I cannot get the job done, and I've been trying, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd love to do that. I'd love to kill an elk with a bow.
For sure. That's like I feel guys that grew up in the Midwest, you know, that's the one thing we think about is like the dream hunt because it's attainable. It's there, but it's hard work, and it's an accomplishment to get it done. But I can see like you being into Alaskan moose or something like that with traditional equipment.
That's on my list that I'd like to do someday.
Yeah, because you can go. I mean, Chandler and Ross, they're going up this fall, and it's public, of course, but it's not as bad money wise as I would have originally thought. Because I think like going up with Shockey, and it's
it's $25,000,
yeah, or more, you know, and plus flights and all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be killer. It'd be cool to do, but
yeah, that's kind of held me back. I guarantee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of them I won't name drop what I think the price is, but it's attainable,
right?
You know, it's definitely attainable.
It's doable.
You just, I mean, it seems a little more work because you're not paying the guide to house you and cook for you and do all that stuff and all that. But I mean, and then on top of it. Pack your moose out for you and help you get it all out of there.
It was fun. I did a fall bear hunt in New Brunswick, and they have a moose season. It was during moose season.
Yeah.
So we went along. I didn't have a tag by no means, but we were there, and we'd killed our bear, and we still had 3 or 4 days to be there, so we went and tagged along on a couple of moose hunts.
Yeah.
Because of these people, it takes 30 years for even the locals to get a moose tag to go.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to draw there for a moose tag, so... Like one of the ladies, it was actually the lady that was doing our cooking in the camp that we was at. She drew a moose tag, and everybody was just so happy. It's like everybody goes together and helps the whole town. Like maybe there's 15 people that draw in the whole township, and it's like they all go together to get that person because they know how coveted that tag is.
Okay.
So we tagged along with her, and I just thought it was so awesome. If you've ever been, you know, next to a mounted moose, a full one. I mean, they're 7.5 feet at the shoulders. They're so huge, 1,200 to 1,600 pounds, and these things are in these in the alders and stuff at 20 yards, and and you can't see them. I'm like, it's 20 yards. It's a moose. It's like a like a pickup truck there, and you can't see it. You know it's right there. So
that's scary.
Yeah, it is. It really is scary. But it's it kind of got me. That sounded like all of us after that steak meal.
I'm still making that noise.
Yeah, I know it. But it just kind of that was like so intense. And then, you know, all the hunts that you see on TV is the same way, you know, the paddle up here. And you just see them coming through there, and it's like, man, they got to be blind. And then you see the few clips of when they get charged and stuff. So,
oh, man.
And being an archer guy, I just want to, like, you know, building the perfect arrow and stuff like that. I just want to see – you know, the bow that I build, the arrow that I build, and just watch it penetrate and just, you know, that's the biggest thing on the North American continent. That's what I want to shoot is just watch it just...
Right, right.
Yeah, so...
Do you see that, like, happening soon? Is it something like you're mapping out, like five-year plan or something?
I don't. I mean, I really don't have any plan to do that. Like,
really?
I would and I will, but it's not like... Like I said, I mean, I was being truthful. If I don't... If I don't kill another thing, I mean, seriously, I'm way, way content, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to keep hunting, but it seems like the older I get more out of not checking things off a list, but, like, I want to make sure that I'm in a camp or I'm hunting with the people that I want to hunt with because I get so much more out of the whole hunting thing rather than just saying,
I killed this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all like killing good deer and stuff like that, but I like the hunt and the preparation, like, you know, buying the land and polishing it and kind of going through the whole chess match of getting it ready. And then if somebody else kills it, I'm fine with that too. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just like, man, I got to polish that piece of property.
And you're just enjoying, you're more about enjoying the culture now.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's like the top step you can get at, I think.
Yeah, I would probably say from our perspective, you know? I'm still really hungry. Where are you at, you think, on that?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, that's one of the things I enjoy most about hunting the way I do, you know, with whitetail adrenaline, because to me, you know, I got a regular job. I've got other stuff to do. I've got land to manage. I got a family, you know.
Married now.
I'm a married guy now. Jared's also a very good wedding videographer, but I don't know if he's out for
hire. You haven't seen the video yet.
I guess I haven't.
No, that's true. Yeah, he spoke too soon.
He's up. He's up.
Maybe.
Remember all them vodkas I drank earlier?
Yeah.
Forgot to hit the record button.
But yeah.
Double punch record.
You know why you're waiting?
I'm looking at the...
what I truly enjoy about that, though, it's that camaraderie and friendship. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, for sure.
the you know... cooking Thanksgiving dinner out of a stovetop box and some Hungry Jack potatoes
at an Airbnb
buying turkey at a gas station, you know, like hanging out. That's what makes it real, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can kill all the big deer in the world, but, you know, I'll shoot back cover bucks all day long with these guys. And
that's what I think I love most
about the bucks.
Back
cover buck guy, man.
I never heard that. That's funny.
Yeah. Well, he put my face on the cover of one DVD. I said, I'm good now, man. I can shoot 120s forever. I'm
going to back cover bucks. Back cover bucks.
I think
that's
what I like about the gun hunting is the camaraderie and getting together. You don't get that as much, or we don't at least, you know, when it comes to the bow hunt.
It's a little more hardcore
and serious. Yeah, exactly. You're more hardcore and everything. And so when it flips to the gun side, it's like the group gets together and it's like, oh, you shot a 100-inch deer. That's funny, whatever.
You know,
I mean, you might give them a little hard
you're
time.
You're busting each other a little bit.
Thing. But, you know, it's all in good fun. And
of course.
That's what deer camp's all about.
Yeah. Is
and that's what I
balls.
Like about the gun hunting. You know, I treat gun hunting almost like duck hunters would go duck hunting.
Well,
you
can kind of tell.
So I shift gears there.
Yeah, well, you can tell a little bit with the archery DVD, and then you put in the gun DVD. You kind of have, like, lighthearted, slightly comical music to some of, like, the stocks. You know, it's different. Yeah. It's more of an intense deal with the archery stuff, and it's more strategic. Well, then you got this, like, bibbity-bop music.
A little bit more clowny.
Yeah, clowny.
Who are these goofballs?
Yeah, it's nice to see both sides of that.
That's also when he pulls all the jokers out. But
I feel like that's super Wisconsin, though. And I mean that with respect to Wisconsin, but that's, like, part of the culture.
I got
thin
skin. You be careful, Kurt.
I think it's
easy.
Good.
Easy.
Yeah, you get thin skin.
Easy. Watch it.
But you're giving Wisconsin residents like that. Wisconsin hunting culture is strong. Like PA hunting culture is really strong.
Yeah.
Michigan hunting culture is really strong.
Ohio is even pretty strong.
It is, but it's a little different than everywhere else. Right. But I feel like you kind of hit both of those with both the different styles and DVDs and all that. But
hey, do you think he's crawfishing? I think he's crawfishing.
Crawfishing?
Yeah, backing up.
What's that
backing
mean?
Up. Yeah, he was about to go. He was about to go down a hard.
No,
he's going down a hard road on Wisconsin, and he said,
"Did I put off the vibe? Did I back up? Yeah. My dad's from Wisconsin. I can shit all over Wisconsin.
There we go. Full throttle.
I have a lot of family in Wisconsin.
You just start talking cheese and beer, and you're good.
That's how you
get back on track.
Yeah, good beer and cheese. That's about
I learned that the first day here. I just say, you know, if somebody's giving me that chicken eye, I just say, cheese curds.
Yeah, exactly.
Squeaky cheese.
Here's your Yarra Valley cheese curds.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But
that was fun.
What I also think is kind of cool about that, though, is, like, I know a lot of guys who totally shift gears, like what Jared's talking about. Like, you're a diehard, you know, bow hunter, nose to the grindstone, as hard as you can work all fall. And when it's gun season, you're like, it's party time now.
Yeah.
You know, crack the beers. Let's talk.
It's vacation.
It's vacation. Yeah, it's vacation. I was telling somebody that today. I said, you know, when I go gun hunting, it's vacation.
Yeah.
I don't care if I shoot anything.
It's almost like letting your hair down and going.
Yeah. Exactly. You know,
I think
the grind's over, we can relax.
I think it's actually funner. When you kind of just get in there with your group of buddies and having a good time, I think I really enjoy gun hunting because I'm
– Yeah.
The bow hunting – I love bow hunting. If I had to pick one, of course I'm going to pick bow hunting. But I love that shift. All of a sudden it goes into just guys hanging out, having a good time, grilling stuff at the end of the night. Oh, you missed a buck today. This happened. Whatever.
Yeah.
And I love that about the gun hunting. And it's not about how big a bucks you get anymore.
Right. So, I get
that. That's how it was growing up for me. We quit gun hunting, but we had a cabin. We had all the guys come out 2 weekends a year, and you got all your buddies together. And it was hunting, but it was always the after party. It was the end of the night. All the neighbors came over to our cabin, and you'd sit around a campfire and bullshit and
the culture is a little bigger with gun hunting, like
it
the camaraderie culture.
Yep. Out of those 10 guys, 4 of them saw the sun come up the next morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. There'd be people passing
and then the
out
guy that
the
shoots
camp.
The big buck got stumbled out there at noon.
We'd be playing euchre till 4 in the morning, you know.
Yeah.
Well, don't even get me started with euchre.
Oh, geez.
I just feel like there's more of a personal commitment and passion
to
bow hunting. You know,
it's more of a challenge.
Hunting, it's about
there has to be. 100%.
You're absolutely right. It has to. You have to be that way to be a successful.
If you want to fill your tag, right?
Yeah.
Right. To be successful and to be a good bow hunter, you have to be in the game at all times.
Oh yeah.
Never let your guard down.
When you're watching his eye blink and he's under 20 yards,
that's right.
That don't mean you got him. He can be broadside. You still got to get drawn back and make the shot. So
yeah.
No, you got to be on your A game. Right. So. I mean, sometimes you get lucky and one stumbles in on there, but for the most part, you got to be on your game.
Yeah,
and that's a good point. I think, like gun, obviously, you can just get sloppy and have a good time and still fill your tag.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know? There's more opportunity with, and I'm not trying to make it sound like it's easy, but a little less effort. That's why I think a little more relaxed, a little more lighthearted.
But by all means, anybody listening, it's still enjoyable, just like what we're talking about.
Right. For sure.
We kind of use Texas as that. That's our Herod. Right before Christmas, we usually go to Texas, and it's just have y'all ever hunted Texas?
No,
it's just
I haven't.
Such a target-rich environment, and
yeah.
I mean, here's the deal: the feeder goes off, and you got 20 deer coming out. They're coming to the feeder, and it's like they all look at each other and they say, "Look, the guy's up there, and he's in the blind up there, this is the deer talking to each other, like." Good luck, everybody. One of us is about to die.
One, two, three, run.
And it's like, because all there is to eat out there is cactus and rocks. They're coming to the feeder.
Yeah,
and then it's almost like, you know, all the things that we do for Midwest deer and Southeast deer.
Yeah.
You're worried about scent and worry about this. That's out in Texas.
Is it really?
You see the guy. I mean, the deer walk through your scent and they're like, whoa, where's a human? And he walks 10 more steps and like, well, I don't smell him no more. It's all good. Yeah. I mean, seriously, it's like they smell you, stop, and it's like, oh, I don't smell him no more. I'm going to go eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like that. They'll smell you, and it's like,
dinner time.
Yeah. I would like – I think killing like a Texas buck is really interesting, like a Texas whitetail.
Yeah.
I think Mexico would be a blast to go to.
Oh, it is so awesome.
Our good friend Larry McCoy, I think they just went to Mexico last year with the small town hunting boys. And they said it's a riot.
It's so fun.
And they said they're shooting, like, coal bucks on some of those ranches. But they said it's so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, the camp culture, it's more relaxed. Like, they're having a riot.
You know you're only going to hunt 2 hours in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Feeder's going off. They're coming. It's not like, man, I got to be ready. It's like you hear, it's like, now I get ready. Okay. Yeah.
And they're like a time feeder or something.
Then
get ready.
You go back.
Doug can be sleeping in the blind. You hear it go off.
Yeah.
Fine.
On Bumble.
Oh. Yeah, and you go back.
Alarm goes off 5 minutes before the feeder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to see how many girls are 6 miles from him in South Texas.
Pretty shit around here.
Snapchat.
Yeah. His age range is 18 to 100 plus.
Yeah.
You never know.
That's a wide range.
I got a feeder of my own, you know.
Yeah. So then you come back, you eat, you know, you got a big long day, and you take a siesta nap, you take a nap, and then you go back
It's relaxing. Yeah. It's a relaxing hunt.
Yeah. Exactly. And then you go back in the evening for 2 hours, and it's like an hour before dark. It's like you're ready to go. So
that would be fun.
You're going to see something. So we always use Texas as like, man, it's been a grind all in October and November, you know, running the rut through the Midwest. And now we go down here for, you know, 4 or 5 days.
A little
and come
vacation.
Back. Oh, yeah, and you're high-fiving. And
that's cool.
Weather's good. You know, you're not having to put on everything you own to stay warm from the Midwest. And no snow. It's a little chilly in the morning, but for the most part, it's just.
It'll be a riot.
Oh, it's so good.
You know, and I don't care who judges me for this or maybe don't judge me at all, whatever. I think it would
be
fun.
We're judging.
All right, well, this will be fun. And I don't know, Bone, if you've ever done this or not. I'd like to shoot, like, exotics in Texas. I think that would be fun.
No, I never have.
Like Axis or Fallow, I think would
Odd
be a
Odd
Ad
riot. Or something.
Yeah, that'd be
I've
cool
heard
as
they're
hell.
Tough.
Now, I've done
some
Odd
of them
Ad.
Are free range,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I've done Odd Ad, which is free range, and then also an elk guy. I've killed an elk guy as well, which.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's they call it a.
It's above our pay grade.
No, it's not. They're
trust me.
They're not native, but it's.
Didn't you hear about my Vans?
Yeah, I did.
My man.
Okay. These are big. This like
elk. They're as big as elk?
Oh, yeah. 750 to 800 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Best meat I've ever eaten.
Really?
Over moose, elk, everything. Best meat I ever meet.
Oh, shit. You want to know a hunt that this would be another thing I'd like to see you guys do, too, just to mix it up. Do it one time in your lifetime, just for my sake of viewership. Hawaii.
I've heard about
because
Hawaii.
Because I think there's no native predators. So you can there's no season you can hunt them year round.
Axis deer.
Axis, yeah. And I heard they're hard as fuck to hunt.
Yeah, Mufalon ram. Nick's done it. Nick's went to Hawaii. There.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, he's killed Axis and turkey.
I know it's like Rogan and Dudley and stuff are going out there hunting Axis or whatever the hell.
Yep.
Yeah,
bizarre.
I think that'd be like something different.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk to the PR guy and put that on the 10-year
budget plan. Yeah,
put
that on the PR
Thank
guy.
You.
I hope
Thank
he's
you.
Listening.
Yeah. I want a spring public land bear in Montana. With traditional equipment would be sweet. That dude, I would love to watch you do that.
That is the only way that I've ever. I heard about that about 4 or 5 years ago about the Montana Spring Bears.
Clint Casper, which he's supposed to be up here. I think he's down at the tavern. Can't blame him. His good buddy that lives out in Montana, Brian Barney, he goes with him a lot and does from Brian Barney's from Eastman Elevated.
Okay.
He's got the show on Outdoor Channel and all that. Great show. Awesome guy. Do you know Brian?
Mm-mm.
Awesome.
I know
dude.
Of him. I just don't know him.
He's a hardcore. He's the real deal. And he does. And he kills. I don't know if he kills one every year, but just about. He kills a good bear spot in stock. But they're in like grizzly country too. Yeah. So Clint said it can get pretty dicey.
Yeah.
Coming through certain areas.
I can imagine that.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to mess around with
that. No, I'm the fat guy in camp. I'm not doing that.
Not for me.
Yeah, y'all ain't got to outrun the bear. Just outrun T-Bone. You're good.
I'm not messing with bears. Yeah. You know? Especially, I mean, black bear's not so scary, but there's grizzlies. It's a different area.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I just think it'd be cool. I'd like to watch, like, your spot and sock skills are, I mean, the best in the game, man. So it'd be cool to watch.
We've been at it a while.
It'd be cool to watch you just go after, like, a
spot and sock black bear. You still see, even, like, this last season, how many times we messed up. I mean,
yeah. There's a whole bonus disc of, not messing up, but just, you know.
Yeah, six stocks in 7 days on that one buck. And another
that's
one
cool,
in
though.
Mix,
it's cool you guys show all that
stuff. I still didn't
get
them.
Yeah, it's nice to see all the. Yeah. The mistakes and
it's
stuff.
It's cool. Like, I love the two dynamics because, like, I love Bone Collector. Like, Realty Road Trips was my jam when that came out, you know, and love that. And then you guys is more like document. Like, it's a documentary.
I got the first
documentary.
Realty Road Trips. While I was out there, he's got the cardboard hanging out there. Jimmy bought me that video and the hat.
Yeah.
The shoe. Yep.
The blue
playing
hat.
Playing Wiffle Ball in Montana.
We named our – so we have an annual bow shoot every year. And we named it the Shoot, S-H-E-W-T, after
T-Bone
Shoot. T-Bone's character, T-Bone. When you're writing on the cardboard the invitations for the and putting it in their mailbox.
Put it in the mailbox,
So we spell it
out there.
We spell it S-H-E-W-T as a joke, figuring people will get it. Well, at the Shoot, last year we had people – no one said it to us directly because they probably think we're dumb. But to guys I know, like, they spelled Shoot wrong.
No way.
I swear.
We've had more messages saying, hey,
I bet that's the same people that thought I hit that toilet paper roll at 300 yards.
It's one of my good friends, his in relation, came in and was like, I don't get it. Like, they spelled Shoot wrong. What's... And he's like, I don't know.
The grammar Nazi got you.
Obviously, it was intentional.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's like, man, you can't make every – it's just whatever you do. We're sarcastic, right? We make jokes all the time on the podcast, and next thing you know, we got – somebody's mad at us. Like, oh, I didn't even –
we just need to share that video in the Shoot page so everyone gets it.
There you go.
Yeah, just take a screen grab from it or something and post it. Make it, like, for the event, it'll be, like, the cover art.
Just so you know.
Yeah. This is the origins of it. Thanks, T-Bone.
Yeah.
So, well, hell, boys, this was kind of fun, interesting conversation, different dynamics all over the
Absolutely.
I don't know if any other podcast has grabbed the two spectrums from the outdoor video game and blended them like this episode.
Yeah, I didn't know we was doing this until about 2 minutes
ago. Oh, me neither. Me neither. I came up here to watch the UFC fight with Kurt. I promise you.
How's the fight you doing?
Hey, how about a podcast? Oh, yeah, let's do it.
I reeled them into it.
Who's winning?
Hook, line, and sinker.
Hey, you got to – it's experience in the game is what it's adding up to.
You know what I was just thinking, not to go backwards, but you said, you know, it's like, whitetail adrenaline, and then, you know, our show's two different ones.
Yeah.
And then you tried to drag Bang Bus into it. You was trying to go three different.
Hey, hanging bang. Yeah. Listen, hanging bang bus.
You got to cover it all, right. You got to cover it all.
I'm throwing things out there and seeing who bites on it a little bit here. You know what I mean? It's a test.
Investors?
He's trying to broaden the demographic a bit here.
Investors could be you.
Could be you.
Just listen. You want to buy?
It's like characters. You got to have this one and that one and that one. And,
oh yeah.
You know, you can't be all one sided. You got to have a good dynamic.
We're kind of dumb, too. So it's like I throw things out there and see what happens, and then sometimes it just falls straight on its face, and then I'm like, yeah,
that worked. That didn't work.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna end up donating an Astro van to us.
Give us a Chevy.
As long as it runs,
I can
use three.
You
got to get Astros. Yeah. Make sure the leaf springs aren't sprung.
Yeah. It's got to be AWD, though.
No running boards on that either. That's no good.
No.
I learned something. I didn't even know they made it ever with AWD.
AWD Astro van? Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's all they are, aren't they?
No, not all.
Wait,
all.
They do have a two-wheel drive?
Oh, yeah. My grandpa had an AWD, man. I wish I still had it.
Yep.
I hauled all over when I was a kid in that.
If you find an all-wheel drive one, that's what the ones that
There was no 4WD. It was always just AWD.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got to have it.
I didn't know they made a two-wheel. News to me.
Wow, damn. You just had the fancy ones. You are more above your pay grade than you thought you were.
Got it for $1,300 in Minneapolis from a guy. And talked him into putting brand new tires on the day before I needed to leave for Pennsylvania. True story.
Worked that into the deal.
Yeah.
You drove halfway across the country in the wrong direction.
Rebel. Going the wrong direction, yeah. But I needed a van.
I love it. Well, appreciate it, guys. Hopefully this was fun. I didn't make it miserable for everybody.
No, it was great fun.
It was miserable.
Good. First podcast experience.
Yeah, it was all right.
You're not.
Yeah, how was your first podcast, TJ?
Well, that was very enlightening.
Good. I've been just over here drinking water.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brandon.
PR guy.
I drank half this, and I'm like, wait a second.
Wait just a minute.
We've water and water, isn't it?
We've been fooling Jared like this all weekend. He asked for a vodka.
I thought I had
water.
Good math.
He only gets vodka in about one out of every three.
That's because he doesn't have the hat on.
We might have listeners upset that the party hat didn't make it for this podcast.
Somebody in Fort Lauderdale has that hat.
I was a little bit quieter this time, though.
Yeah.
I'm reserved until... Yeah. That
well,
happens.
We didn't scream over each other for almost 2 hours like we did in Nebraska. Right. Even though on the intro I said, just so you know, we talk over each other a lot. Everybody had a few beverages. And then we get people message us, hey, you guys talked over each other the whole episode. I'm like, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, forewarned you.
No shit, Sherlock.
I warned you. I apologize.
Listen, that 2 hours got me through after lunch at work last week, so it was fine.
Oh, really?
Okay.
That was funny.
You were expecting that, weren't you?
Oh, I know. I've been hanging out with these guys long enough. Yeah. I knew
were
exactly
you preparing
what
for your
coming.
First podcast?
No.
Doing some research.
I heard that.
Doing his homework.
I heard there was a 2 hour talk over post session with you guys, with him and Chansey, and I'm like, this ought to be good.
Yeah. A complete mess, but it was a riot.
I've been in the bar with them many times. I know how it's like
I'm
to have them
glad
yell
you
over
cut
each
it off
other.
When you did.
I realize I need to wrap that episode up, otherwise, you guys, PR guy wouldn't let me air it. So I hurry up and
yeah, PR guy.
Yeah.
I caught him when my peripherals come in and go.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, go shoot your bow. We'll see you next week.
I was like, probably pretty good timing.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys and coming
Absolutely.
In.
Always a great time.
Let's watch some fights, huh?
Let's do it.
All right, go shoot your bow. We love you.